Energy.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I was wondering, since the chupacabra is a vampire-type beast, maybe somebody should be using a more vampire-type voice. Do you do that, Chris, or not?
The Paracast.
Wow.
That was lame. I do.
You said it, I didn't.
Voice.
I didn't make a comment. I didn't criticize you. I can't.
Thanks,
do...
but Ben editorialized for you.
Well, you know what I can say is, I never drink wine.
Yeah.
And that's just as bad.
The Paracast.
The Paracast.
It's hard to do a Bela Lugosi voice with lots of P's. And
it sounds very fey. I like it.
Well, Bela Lugosi was never good at P's. And Q's, is for that matter. Tracking the Chupacabra is the book. Ben Radford's our guest. Chris O'Brien's the co-host, trying his best not to sound like Dracula. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Chris, have you assembled all those questions from our audience?
I have, but I've got a couple of my own before we go on.
Okay, let's do that, and then we'll go right into the other questions. Chris.
Okay, and this is something that I think is really important when you're dealing with animal deaths, and that is physical evidence tracks, some sort of veterinary examinations. Based on your research, Ben, how many cases feature some sort of analytical scientific process postmortem on these animals, to your knowledge?
I couldn't give you an exact number because, of course, people can come up with any sort of reports they want. I would say very, very few. I'd say probably less than 5%, to the best of my knowledge.
But there, we do have a body of data that we could refer to if we dug deep enough.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, for example, I mean, there were a couple of veterinarians who were working in Puerto Rico at the time, meaning 1996, 1997, who examined many of these creatures post-mortem, I think hundreds of them, and their answer, their conclusion was that they were not, in fact, drained of blood. So in those cases, an autopsy, a necropsy was done, and the answer was there was no vampirism.
Did they find crushed trachea, crushed windpipes, that sort of thing, sort of trauma that would indicate, you know, your working theory that many of these probably were killed by some sort of predator that would clamp onto the neck area, for instance?
Yeah, the original accounts, in fact, you could see them. I think there was a TV show called Is It Real on National Geographic, and one of the veterinarians was featured on there, and he discusses this, that as far as he could tell, they were just the victims of ordinary predation.
How about other physical trace evidence, such as animals like chickens inside a coop that would be protected from what you would think would be your standard fox or wild dog or something like that? Do we have any cases that feature dead animals in a secure environment?
Sure. I mean, there's cases where, you know, something got into the chicken coop. I don't doubt for a second that something got into the chicken coop. The question is, was it the chupacabra or was it a dog or coyote?
Or coyote would leave tracks, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and in fact, in most cases, they do find dog or coyote tracks there.
Okay, here's another one for you. What about samples of saliva, other physical evidence? I do seem to recall that kind of unusual evidence was left behind in the form of some sort of saliva or some sort of fluids that it was assumed came from the predator. Do you know of any testing that has been done?
Right. No, you're exactly right. In fact, in Scott's book, there are multiple references to chupacabra drool or slime or a scat or things like that. And in my research, none of it was credible. I tracked down a couple different cases. In one case, for example, Mrs. Tolentino said that there had been some slime collected by a chupacabra researcher by the name of Linda Moulton Howe. Apparently, according to Tolentino, the story was that the slime had been examined by a chemist and was not of this world, whatever that might mean. And I actually contacted Mrs. Howe for the book, and I said, I'm just wondering what were the results of this analysis that was done, this alleged chupacabra slime? And her answer was, there was no slime. Tolentino is simply wrong. There was no analysis done, no slime. I also talked to John Downs, the Center for Fortean Zoology, and asked him about it, and he said that he had some analysis done of the slime, and the results turned up nothing. So, to the best of my knowledge, all the reports of chupacabra drool, slime, other bodily excretions or whatever else, they're all just myths as far as I can tell.
How about tracks? Now, I do seem to recall that unusual tracks were very rare, but there were a number of cases that featured tracks that didn't conform to your standard neighborhood predator. Can you address that?
Sure. Probably the most famous chupacabra tracks were taken in Florida. I discuss that in those in the book. And the universal analysis was that they're a hoax. Now, I don't know whether the person that took the tracks committed the hoax or whether they themselves were hoaxed, but it seems pretty clear that those tracks just simply are not credible. They're not real. In fact, Esteban Sarmiento, who's a primatologist, did an analysis of it, and he said there's no credibility to them. There were also tracks found in Calama, Chile, at some of the attacks there, and those, as far as anybody could tell, I think the quote, I don't have it in front of me, but as I recall, the official said that there were nothing that distinguished it from feral dogs. So if somebody has a unique, bizarre, unknown chupacabra track or alleged chupacabra track, I'll be happy to see it. But so far, all the ones that have been examined are either hoaxes or of known animals.
Well, we're kind of running out of possibilities here for any sort of definitive smoking gun evidence that would suggest that this is something high strange. I think physical evidence is very important, especially in cases that feature dead animals that leave behind, and you have physical evidence to you know, bring the powers of diagnostic science to bear on. So, I wanted to make sure that we ask those questions because I agree with you. There is very little, if any, evidence that would suggest that we're dealing with anything other than something mundane, like a predatory attack by various types of animals that tend to attack a small livestock. I'm not saying that I'm totally thinking that this is all confabulation, this is all misidentified predator action. I personally have a sense that there is something at the core of this. I would not want to go to Vegas and place money on that. But
out of curiosity, where do you think the mystery lies? What part of this do you think is not explained?
Well, I think the power of collective belief is a lot more intense and has more. I think is more of a subject that needs to be looked at and further studied. I've had cases, for instance, of the appearance of a demon-like figure, a devil-like figure, and even though the initial case was probably a prank or a hoax, all of a sudden you have a flurry of very similar type reports that spring up in the subculture around it that appear to have some sort of credibility at their core. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that there's going to be people on the forums that are going to tear me a new one for that one, but this is something that I think is a potentially a very fruitful avenue of investigation, and I don't think enough work is being done about the power of collective belief and how that can actually potentially, in my mind, even manifest real nuts and bolts phenomena. Now that I've totally gotten myself in trouble with our debunkers, not skeptics, on the board.
Well, you know what? That's going to be something where Ben's going to leave here. And by the way, Ben, I want to say this. I like you so much, I want to invite you to endure the grief. If you have time, feel free to participate in our forums. I'm serious. Because I think you have a lot of interesting input from this interview, a lot of interesting things to say, whether our listeners agree or not, because we already have a skeptic in our forums. We want to take all sides, and that's the way we learn about things. So if you're up to it, Ben.
When is this going to go out?
And even between now, then, and forever, I'll tell you how to get to the forums and how to sign up. We've got a lot of our guests who joined there. The book is Tracking the Chupacabra. Ben Radford's the author. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed, bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Dr. David Berry has provided excellent advice for all those interested in practical economics and sound money. It's certainly worth reading.
That's what Congressman Ron Paul said about Cha-Ching Wisdom, 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money, the new book by Dr. David Berry.
The cool part of this book, certainly it'll speak to you personally, your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things personally that we do as a nation.
Dr. Berry's book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, presents many facets of your relationship with the once almighty dollar and how current national and international politics affect your daily life.
Some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic. They're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Read Cha-Ching Wisdom by Dr. David Berry, only $9.95. Available at cha-chingwisdom.com. That's C-H-A-C-H-I-N-G-Wisdom.com. Cha-chingwisdom.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
I guess we should call this Tracking the Trickster, because our trickster has returned.
Somebody said my trickster cackle, so I figured I'd throw one in there just to get myself further in trouble.
Well, you know what? We're all in trouble. You know, you have to read what some people have been saying about us lately, and I think we are in trouble. A lot of it is imaginary. There's someone who put up a blog entry complaining because we decided to allow one poster to post something and another poster not to. They complained about what we do in our message boards. It's our message boards. You know, that's who you go. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberger in the PowerCast with Ben Radford. Chris, why don't we pick up on this?
Okay. I do have a bunch of questions, but they're more along the lines of general, I think, cryptid-type questions, and especially
sure.
Bigfoot. But I want to continue on the Chupacabra topic here a little bit. We haven't talked at all about the most recent incarnation of this mystery, which I think quite a bit of press has been inked down in Texas with these mangy-looking coyote dog, I forget what you call them,
the
hybrid dog
canids,
type things,
yeah.
and even potentially a hairless raccoon may have been found and had the Chupacabra label put on it. But let's go ahead and discuss our 21st century version of this as it has manifested in the media in especially Texas.
Sure.
Why don't we address the canine version of this thing?
Yeah, essentially what happened was that with a few exceptions, as you pointed out earlier, the original Chupacabra, the sort of alien-y, spiky-backed, species-inspired Chupacabra, wasn't really seen much after around 2000, give or take. I mean, there are exceptions, but for the most part, it kind of faded away. And people didn't really see much about Chupacabra for a few years until about 2004, 2005, when people began finding dead, hairless and nearly hairless dogs, dogs and coyotes, members of the canid family, which include dogs, coyotes, and foxes, and calling them the Chupacabra. The most famous one was found in 2007 in Cuero, Texas, by a woman named Phyllis Canyon, who proclaimed that it was the summer of the Chupacabra. And she had a good time. They were selling T-shirts, and there was a big media hubbub and international news when she found this dead, hairless canine. And actually was flown out there by the TV show Monster Quest to investigate that particular Chupacabra. And but there were other ones. There was one in Blanco, Texas. There was one in Elmendorf, Texas. There was one in Turner, Maine, of a couple here in New Mexico and elsewhere. But for the most part, you know, in this particular case, again, there was a very, very different form. So you went from the alien-y, bipedal, spiky-backed monster to essentially what were four-legged, hairless dogs. And they certainly looked like that. And so suddenly we had hard evidence. And so when you have hard evidence, you can do DNA tests and you can use science and forensics to get the answers. And when those tests were done, they came back to be either dogs or coyotes or on occasion raccoons or in one case an ocean skate monster. But so that sort of answered that question in terms of what were these things, what were these hairless dogs. And typically they had what's called sarcoptic mange, which is a skin disease caused by mites, which causes the hair to fall out.
Okay. And so you're just totally discounting that as a possibility for a form of blood-sucking animal then.
Yes, for a number of reasons, and I'll just touch on them briefly. And again, I go into I think the second last chapter in the book. I deal entirely with the physiology of vampires, and for my book, I went and researched true vampires, that is, animals that actually do suck blood, such as leeches and lampreys and vampire bats. And if you look at those creatures, these animals, they have very distinctive adaptive digestive systems, for example, and mouth structures that allow them to suck blood. If you look at these Texas Chupacabras, there's no way that they could physically suck blood. It's literally impossible for their mouth structure to allow them to suck blood. Furthermore, there's no mechanism by which they could digest blood, because animals that do suck blood and live on blood, they have special structures that keep them from succumbing to iron toxicity, because blood is rich in iron, that if you or I drank a whole lot of blood, it would actually injure us and maybe even kill us, because there's so much iron in our blood, our bodies can't handle it. And so far, none of these creatures have been found to have any of the characteristics that we would expect from a true vampire.
So aspiring vampires out there in the audience, take note. Drinking too much blood can be hazardous to your health.
Absolutely.
Well, there goes the TV show's True Blood, and of course, being human, forget about it.
Okay, I'm going to go on to some questions from the board here. Tider001 mentions that he's always found Martin Gardner to be an interesting person, very much a skeptic on one hand, yet a believer in God on the other. What does Mr. Radford think of a fellow traveler such as the late Mr. Gardner, who can hold the hard-line materialistic view and yet maintain a wonder and even a belief in the soul?
I think it's great. I was actually Martin's editor for many years. He wrote a column for Skeptical Inquirer magazine, and I was one of his editors for a while, and I worked with Martin on many occasions. And I when I first heard about him and met him, I didn't really understand just how massive an intellectual contributor he was to not only science but skepticism. And sort of I grew to appreciate that as the years went on, where I realized just what a massive amount of books he's written, I think over 70 books. You know, it's certainly true that Martin professed to believe in God, and that's fine. I mean, I've always sort of separated out the science and the religion. And, you know, if people want to believe in God or angels or what have you, I personally don't care. The only place that I get into it in my investigations is if someone makes a claim that's testable. I mean, if you tell me you believe in God, that's fine. That doesn't bother me at all. If you tell me that you were healed by God or God gave you some special magical power or something, then at that point that becomes a testable claim. So that's sort of where I draw the line between investigatable and personal beliefs. And it doesn't bother me at all that Martin, believes in God. That's great. I mean, if he found that comforting, then more power to him.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that, how scientists like quantum physicists could, do all this heavy lifting in terms of theoretical physics and mathematics, and then go to church and sort of leave their scientific selves at the door. I've always found that very fascinating. Here's another couple of questions. This is from ex-Lord Summers Slex, who claims he's a paranormal master. This should be good. I'd be interested to know your take on Jeff Meldrum's interpretation of apparently consistent anatomical features such as mid-tarsal breaks in alleged Bigfoot footprints.
Oh, Jeff.
You know, we'll have to take this to our next segment because, you know, that little clock says there are sponsors out there who have things to sell, and if we don't give them a chance to sell those things, we don't let them take care of their business, well, we won't have a business and we won't have a show. That's how it goes. So we'll have you answer that question in our next segment. This is what we call the cliffhanger portion of the PowerCast in the final hour. We have Benjamin Radford. The book is Tracking the Chupacabra, but as you see, the discussion will go far afield as we answer the questions from our listeners. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the PowerCast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects. It's safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area, because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
There he is. You wondered about whether there are ghosts. And if there are ghosts, maybe their voices will sound like Chris O'Brien there. We never know.
That was supposed to be Bigfoot, Gene.
You're a Bigfoot? Well, you know, I think gruffier, you know. Gotta be gruffier.
Okay.
That's
I'll work on that.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Okay, so we were
talking
about... Don't
quit your day job, Chris. We're talking to Ben Radford. I won't quit my day job, but I think this is it. We're talking to Ben Radford. The book is Tracking the Chupacabra. I'm Gene Steinberg, and you're in the Paracast. And before we broke, you were starting to answer a question. Ben, why don't you pick up on that?
Yeah, the question was about Jeff Meldrum's research. He's an anatomist at the University of Idaho, as I recall. He's written a couple of books. I think the main one is, I think it's called Sasquatch Legend Meets Science or something. Jeff is an interesting character because he sort of inherited the mantle of the primary Bigfoot scientist after Grover Krantz died. I like Jeff. I've met him a couple times, and I personally think he's a cool guy, and he's a nice guy. I do, however, have serious problems with the logic in his book, where he talks about, for example, mid-tarsal breaks and some things that, you know, in terms of, like, for example, why a Bigfoot print must be real. And I don't have the time or depth to get into it, but I, along with several other people, including Matt Crowley and David Daigling and Mike Dennett, wrote a very in-depth review of Meldrum's book in Skeptical Inquirer magazine. Basically each of us reviewed a part of his book from our particular brand of expertise, and that deals a lot with our responses to Jeff's book. I personally like him. I don't think his science is very good in some of those cases, and I'd like to see more out of him. So
okay, part two of Lord Summers Lex's questions would be, he'd be interested to get your take on the Patterson-Gimlin film. Bob Hieronymus, the guy who claimed he wore the suit, has changed his story on a number of occasions, giving contradictory versions of the details of the suit and so on, which at best suggests that he's an unreliable witness. Could this version of events be a hoax in and of itself? Personally, he's on the fence in terms of the veracity of the film. Patterson's story has problems, particularly in regards to the timeline of developing the film.
Exactly.
But then the long Hieronymus version has its problems, too. So I guess he wants you to address that.
Sure. I mean, obviously, this is a subject I could talk for an hour and a half on. But essentially, you know, the Hieronymus story, I mean, just to be very clear, there are several people that have claimed to have been in the Bigfoot suit, not just Hieronymus. Hieronymus is only one of the latest ones. And people need to understand that it's a false dichotomy to say that either Bob Hieronymus is lying or the Bigfoot, the Patterson-Gimlin film is real. That's not correct. I mean, it could be that he's lying and as well the film is fake. So, as the question included, there are some very, very serious issues with the timeline and how exactly the Patterson film could have been developed in such a short period of time. If you go back and you actually look at it, that so far, even the people who believe very staunchly in the Patterson-Gimlin film, they can't explain it. They don't have an answer for how some of these things were even possible. Again, there's a lot to it. There's been claims, for example, that the locomotion that you see in the film could not be duplicated, and that's been proven false by a friend of mine, Dave Daglin, who wrote a book on the subject. And he did his own test, and in fact, you can do the exact locomotion of the thing. So I think, to my mind, again, there's lots and lots to it. To my mind, one of the biggest arguments against it is that the Patterson film remains the best evidence for Bigfoot. And again, remember, this is 1967. This is when Lyndon Johnson was in the White House. You know, since that time, you know, cameras have been cheaper, more affordable, better quality. I find it inexplicable that if there really are Bigfoot out there, that there hasn't been a better quality film or video made in the last, you know, almost 50 years. I just find that unbelievable.
Well, so the Polish footage is pretty interesting.
Maybe you're more impressed with it than I am, but in any event, the question remains, why isn't there better evidence?
Yeah, just like UFO photos are always blurry and out of focus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have another interesting question from our previous questioner. If Bigfoot doesn't exist, what are people experiencing? Well, I'd agree that the image of a hairy forest giant is archetypal and occurs in many different cultures. How could this lead to people seeing something they believe to be Bigfoot? What do you think of other mystery primates, such as the orange pendak, for instance?
Well, again, as with vampires, stories of sort of wild men in the woods and feral people and feral men are universal. There's nothing new about that. They're reported all over the place, and you can find cases of that in Native American lore and First Nations lore and elsewhere. That's not particularly surprising. And in terms of what are people seeing, it's the same thing with ghosts and chupacabra sightings. It's a mistake to look for one singular blanket explanation because there isn't one. Some people are seeing brown bears. Some people are seeing, pranksters. Some people are seeing hoaxers. Some people are seeing things in their imagination. A lot of times, as was the case with chupacabra that I talked about, is that people will report Bigfoot experiences, but they don't necessarily have any connection to Bigfoot. For example, there's many cases where people will be out camping in the woods, and they'll hear guttural growls or, you know, they'll have rocks being thrown or something, and they'll assume it's Bigfoot without actually having seen a Bigfoot. So it's important to not lump together, you know, any sort of weird sound someone hears in the woods with an up-close Bigfoot sighting.
Well, I have a personal experience that's very much like you just described, the base of Mount Shasta, where I feel I heard something that was impossibly loud, that did not conform to any animal that I've ever heard of or heard examples of their calls. It literally made my eardrums rattle. It was so loud. It bounced off foothills over a mile away. And I assume whatever was crashing through that impenetrable hedge of Mountain Huckleberry, whatever this was, super tough, the hedge was made out of, it was coming at me, and there was no way that anything, unless it was huge, could have made its way through that hedge. Now, this could have been totally, just a whole combination of mundane events that happened to coalesce together into something that sure seemed like a Bigfoot ticked off at my buddy and I and chased us off the mountain.
But you would agree that just because you can't identify the sound doesn't mean it's unidentifiable, right?
That's correct. I did not see it. I smelled it. It was one of the most foul-smelling smells I've ever smelled.
Did you bust one? No. Or did somebody bust one? I don't know.
No, I didn't. And there was this weird fecal material that seemed to be smeared on some strip branches or these huge mountain flies that were flying around it. So there were other things involved in the sighting, which I don't want to digress too far here. But yes, it's a point well taken that just because it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck doesn't mean that it's necessarily a duck, you know. As the
maybe
old
someone
goes.
Knew that Chris would be there and they wanted to just freak you out. That's all.
Yeah. Well,
it was
I
Jim Moseley and Gray Barker. No, not Gray Barker. Gray Barker wasn't alive then, was he?
No. Or it wasn't Moseley either.
I don't know if Moseley, of all the things he's done, ever tried to become a Bigfoot. I mean, he's done his share of stuff. Ben, you know who Jim Moseley is, right?
Yeah, yeah. Was Paul Freeman around?
No.
You know, because Freeman is allegedly responsible for some pretty dubious Bigfoot stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, we were the first ones up this logging road. We had to dig our way through snowdrifts to get up there. We were the first ones there that year. It was early spring, so it was a pretty interesting experience, one that definitely stands out in my mind, no question.
And it doesn't sound as if Jim Moseley would want to go there because Jim lives in Florida these days. He wants the warm weather.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not the kind of thing he does. We'll get to more of the questions from our audience on the Paracast. I understand, by the way, they're hearing us now in not only in Texas and other cities, but recently an outlet in Atlanta added the Paracast to their stables, so we're growing. And if you know of a station, they do not have to be a member of the GCN network to carry the Paracast. If you know of a station in your area, a talk station that might carry our show, contact us, news@theparacast.com, news@theparacast.com. Just let us know. Write us, news@theparacast.com. So the story, of course, here is that if you know the station, write us news@theparacast.com, news@theparacast.com. If you know the name of the executives, give us the name so we can have our affiliate manager, GCN, check them out. The guest is Benjamin Radford. The book is Tracking the Chupacabra. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $220. And the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com. Today.
Do you suffer from adrenal fatigue? Did you know that mercury from your dental fillings can deposit into your kidneys and adrenals and cause them to lose up to 60% of their functional capacity? I've had first-hand experience with the damage mercury can do to the body. I've made it a life's work to figure out what went wrong after I got two large mercury fillings put into my teeth. I also know the most effective means by which the body can remove mercury. It has to do in large part with how well your liver functions and how much glutathione your cells produce. The number one superfood that supports optimal levels of glutathione is cold processed whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is unheated whey protein from grass-fed cows. It is the most bioactive, undenatured whey protein on the market. People are reporting health improvements from this one product that I've not seen in 20 years of clinical nutritional practice. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Gruffy, Bigfoot-like, after he tells about his possible Bigfoot encounter. You got the voice. Tell me you didn't hear a voice there when you had this encounter, Chris.
It was a cross between a bull elephant, a lion roar, and a steam locomotive. It was just the most thunderous sound I've ever heard, and it was a vocalization. No question about it.
Tell you what, Chris. Tell you what, I don't want to be there. I'm not going to join you on these things because I'd run the other direction. That's my problem. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. The guest is Benjamin Radford. The book is Tracking the Chupacabra. This is our final segment.
Ben, what do you think people are seeing? Could it be in the case of the Orang Pendak? Could it be a true potential crypto creature, do you think, a mystery primate? Do you think there are mystery primates out there? A gigantic, we may have some around it.
I would have to come down and say, you know, where's the evidence? As I always do. I would love to be the first person to see the Bigfoot or to discover it and to cover, you know, the news of its discovery.
I have a question for you. Have you ever seen a dead bear carcass?
I have, in fact.
You have? Okay. How about a dead mountain lion?
No.
There are lots of bears and lots of mountain lions, but very, very little in the case of mountain lions. I do not know anyone who's ever seen a mountain lion carcass, and I know quite a few outdoorsmen, and I've asked. That would be one argument that would suggest that possibly, the physical evidence left behind may be a lot more rare than you would suspect. So that's one argument for that.
Except for the fact that I don't judge it based upon whether I personally have seen it. I mean, I've never seen a giraffe fetus either, but I don't doubt that they exist. Just because I don't encounter them in my everyday life, most people probably don't. That doesn't, to my mind, that doesn't really have any necessary implications.
Right, yeah, you personally seen, of course, but right. That's one thing that I would suggest when you do go out on Bigfoot research projects that maybe you ask outdoorsmen, ask people who are very, very knowledgeable about the outdoors. And you'll be surprised at how few, if any, have ever seen carcasses of animals, especially predators. Mm-hmm. They're pretty rare. And I'm not saying that this is an argument supporting the existence of these crypto creatures, but it is something that I think that we need to always bear in mind, that physical evidence out in the woods tends to disappear very quickly because there's a lot of hungry animals out there. Mm-hmm. They spread the bones around and whatnot. So, but what do you think about the Orang Pendak, for instance, in the work that's being done trying to establish once and for all whether this particular mystery primate exists?
I think that probably of all the places in the world that might hold an unknown mystery primate, probably the Orang Pendak is among the more plausible, just partly because of its remoteness, partly because of the fossil record out there. I don't necessarily believe or disbelieve. I mean, I'm open to the evidence either way, but I think, for example, there's a far, far higher and better chance of finding the Orang Pendak than of finding Bigfoot, just for any number of reasons.
Okay. Well, what's next on your research calendar? What projects are you currently gearing up for, or are you involved in a new project?
Yeah, I got a handful of things right now. There's I'm involved in a plagiarism investigation. When I was sort of a spin off of my Chupacabra investigation, I was doing some research and I found that most of this particular book was plagiarized. So I've been dealing with HarperCollins to let them know about that. I'll be giving a talk at the American.
Let me stop you right there. Can you tell us which book?
I cannot. I'm waiting for a response back from HarperCollins, but it's a book about vampires. It's an encyclopedia about vampires.
Okay. And they lifted material from you?
Actually, no, I wish they had, because they would have gotten it right. They lifted material from, they just basically did a Google search. And from what I can tell, well over half of her book is taken directly from Google.
Okay. So they didn't even rewrite it?
No, there was a little bit of paraphrasing. Much of it was verbatim, and frankly, this doesn't surprise me because certainly in my research of chupacabras and Bigfoots and ghosts, there's a whole lot, and you guys know this as well. There's way too much just liberally copying from other people and plagiarism instead of original investigation. There's that I'm working on. I'll be giving a talk for the American Folklore Society later this year on the folklore of the chupacabra. And there's a handful of other things that just miracles. I've been doing a little piece on some crystal skulls, which is something that Chris knows something about as well.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you about the crystal skull thing before we let you go. What are you finding out about the crystal skulls? Anything weird? Probably not, because we don't expect you to find anything weird, do we?
I would love to find something weird. In this particular case...
Let me show you what I look like, then you'll see weird. Go ahead, please.
Oh, my God. Is that you? Did it have to be in color? Oh, man.
Okay. That's terrible. Oh, man. That's why I do radio.
I understand. It's clear to me now. But no, I mean, there's all sorts of... Basically, I mean, again, probably Chris is very familiar with this as well, but I go back to the Mitchell's Hedges skull and then the San Luis Valley skull that Chris wrote about in his book, Mysterious Valley. So it's
I debunked myself. You better hasten to add.
Yes, there you go. There you go. So, yeah, just part of the thing is because of what I do, there's so many irons in the fire. There's different investigations. I'm also working on a master's program. I do a podcast called Monster Talk with Blake Smith and Karen Stolzno and all my other stuff. So it's the Chupacabra is only the latest of my stuff. So hopefully people will look at it with an open mind and decide for themselves.
Well, that's one thing that I want to applaud you on is your open-minded, healthy skepticism. I think some of the debunkers in the world should be sitting up and taking notice of your approach. It's been a pleasure having somebody who's grounded and objective and not totally throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but looking at the evidence, I think, dispassionately and really having fun while doing it. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you. And, Ben, we really would like to have you back on the show. I think you're one of our better guests that we've had, and I really do applaud your work. And I agree with quite a bit of what, if not most, of what you came up with in this book. I was very impressed with it, I must say. And all you true believers out there now have something to throw mud at.
Well, now you can go hate all of us because I'm
going to get it from both sides now.
Yeah, right. We're going to get hit from both sides here. But I think you've done a lot of good research. And whether or not, ladies and gentlemen, you agree that there are paranormal events or not paranormal events, it's important to read all sites. The skeptic, the believer, look at the evidence. Realize that not everything is a UFO. Not everything is a strange creature from outer space, another dimension, or anywhere else. Maybe we have those things, okay? Because that's what the purpose of the show is, to find that signal, to see where it's happening. But all that noise around us, all the crazy controversies over, for example, why we allow one message and not another message in our forums. That's a big issue, by the way, online right now. They care about our forums. They're very important. Our forums are the most important forums on the planet. You know, we have the Japanese earthquake. We have budgetary problems in America, all over the world. We have recessions. We have people losing their homes. All these problems we're trying to understand. Strange things are happening out there. We can't explain what they are. Some things are conventional. Some things we don't think so. But the most important thing is our message boards outweigh everything, the most important things on the planet. If that sounds ridiculous to you, it sounds ridiculous to me, too. Benjamin Radford, you're not ridiculous. Tell us where we can find more of the things that you do.
Well, thank you for not calling me ridiculous. That's actually one of the better compliments I've gotten this week. People can find information on me at radfordbooks.com. That's RADFORDbooks.com. I've written, I guess, Tracking the Chupacabra is my fifth book. My previous book being Scientific Paranormal Investigation, and they can also find stuff at chupacabramystery.com. And again, I'm in Skeptical Inquirer magazine. I do columns for Discovery News and Life Science, and I do the approximately monthly podcast Monster Talk. So I'm here, there, and everywhere, and I'm doing my best to spread some skepticism and critical thinking.
And Chris, of course, has OurStrangePlanet.com, which we host with my own web server, so that's why it's much faster than it ever was. Chris, we had a great time with Ben. Benjamin Radford, thank you for joining us this week on the PowerCast.
Thank you. It's been good to talk to you guys.
PowerCast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.